Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. I'm Dave Barber, lead pastor at River Valley Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Each week, we spend time looking into God's Word with the purpose of allowing Christ to transform us by the renewal of our minds. We hope that you make hearing and studying God's Word a consistent part of every week.
We are studying in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. And when I came to you, brothers, they did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except for the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except for the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. It's a powerful passage, and again, as we are studying this book, and as Paul is speaking to the people in Corinth, it's important to him to get some things across to them. Obviously, in chapter 1, he kind of did not want them to be involved in, like, to be involved in people. Like, you know, I follow this person, I follow Gaius, I follow Apollos. He wanted them to be focused on the person of Jesus Christ. And he starts out by saying that I don't want it to be done. I don't want you to understand and know the gospel because of lofty words or how I have spoken to you. He wanted it to come across from the power of the gospel. And one of the first things we recognize is that the gospel does not need our help to make it powerful. Are you following me? The gospel does not need us to make it powerful. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God." Did you get that? Power of God for our salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is powerful. That message of the gospel is simple and powerful, and it doesn't need our help. Secondly, if you look in verse 2, he says, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." The gospel should not be added to. It is simple and exclusive. Let me explain what I mean. Number one, it's simple, meaning that there is just one message. The message of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins, giving His life for us, placing our faith, and Pastor Dave said last week, it is grace plus what? Nothing. It should not, it cannot be added to. It's simple. but it's also exclusive. And what I mean is this, is that it doesn't mean that exclusive to who it goes to. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the message is exclusive. It means that there, God says that there is really only one way in which we can come to a relationship with God, and that is through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said it to himself, John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It is exclusive. And it's simple. And it's powerful. It's dangerous, the world that we live in. I was about 15 years ago, a camp director, just a godly camp director, asked me to be on a camp board. And he asked me specifically to be on this camp board, but he kind of gave me this thing. He's like, hey, just so you know, this camp board's a little messed up. And I need somebody on here who actually believes the truth. But as I got into this camp board and began going, is that I realized that this was an organization that for 100 years ago, they had put this camp on the map because they wanted young people from Chicago to be bused there to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. But over the years, they had allowed the world and the enemy and the lies of the enemy to creep in. And pretty soon, they had this, they started to believe, hey, maybe not all of the word is completely true. And then pretty soon, is that, you know what? There are other ways of getting to heaven. There are other ways of having a relationship with God. And it became, instead of exclusive, like anybody can get to heaven. And so they took and began adding. And what is the reality in Isaiah Stat in that group with that board? And I started to recognize, here's pastors of churches and directors of organizations. And they're a part of an organization, and that their churches are literally dying. They have nobody left. They're living off of money that was given years and years before. And you want to know why they're dying? Because they have removed the power of the gospel. And they have no message anymore. All of us recognize that we're sinners, that we are in need of a Savior, that we're in need of a gospel, the good news. It cannot be added to. And it's exclusive. Look at the next verse. It says this, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Did you ever feel like that? Boy, I'm just bumbling through this message right now, right? I'm just trying to share the gospel, and man, I am screwing it up. But isn't it great that the gospel is not dependent upon my power? It's dependent on the Holy Spirit's power. And I am responsible to simply speak it. That's our role. And God takes our obedience and infuses it with the power of the Holy Spirit, and it goes forward and it goes into people's lives and it reveals the truth in their life that they need the gospel and they are gloriously saved. The gospel does not need to be propped up by us. We don't have to have a perfect presentation. I don't need smoke. I don't need anything. We just need simply the power of the Holy Spirit infusing the message. Now, I want you to look at this last one. First, not the last one. Sorry, don't want to get you excited. You're going to leave so early. But the last one in this point. It says, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He's saying, here's what I've just talked about all this because of one reason. I don't want your faith to rest in anything that is of this world, of our own self, of anyone else. I don't want your faith to rest in me, Paul. I don't want it. Your faith to rest in anything but what? The power of the gospel, the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because if it's not resting on that, it's easily swayed. I'm going to tell you a story, and it's a sad story in my life. I believe God is going to do a change, but I'm going to just tell you, I've shared this before. I'm going to share it again maybe right now, but I'm just saying, my brother came to me 10 years ago, and he said to me, we were at a trout fishing trip. Take a trout fishing trip every week, every year. I wish every week. That'd be great. Every year, and we're on this trip, and we're talking, and he goes, you know what? I don't know if I really believe that all of his word is true. And my heart just sank. And my brother's a smart guy. I love him to death. So talking to him's not easy because he has all the answers. He's been through everything just like I grew up in a Christian home. All I could do was pray. The next year, he came and he goes, you know what? I don't really believe, you know, the whole Jesus thing. And then the next year, he said, I don't really believe in God. I know that God's going to do a work. But I want you to recognize how easily the enemy steps into our life. At some point, if we all start to say, you know what, I'm not sure I believe this. And so now what? You're the judge? Now you're the one who decides what is true and not true? You understand what I'm saying? How easily the enemy comes in. And when the enemy comes in, his whole goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to steal your faith. He wants to do whatever he possibly can. And I'm just saying this, is that your faith needs to rest not on your own strength, not on anything that you're doing religiously. It needs to rest on the work of God. You know, my brother, he's a very persuasive person. He used to persuade me to do a lot of things growing up. We won't talk about that. He started to try and persuade me away from my faith. And I told him, listen, you need to stop right now because I'm not going there with you. Because I want you to know something. I gave my life to Christ. The Holy Spirit came and lived and lives inside of my life. I have a relationship with the Holy God, and it's real. You won't change that. And so as you look at Paul's life, and he's saying this, listen, here's what I need you to understand. You cannot rest in anything but the work of the Spirit of God in your life who reveals the gospel so that you understand it, so that you believe it, and you surrender your life to Him. You rest in that, what He's done in your life. The power of the gospel of God. The Holy Spirit also wants to continue to do a work in our life. Look at verse 6. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God. The Holy Spirit's role, one of the Spirit's role completely, is to reveal what he wants to do in our lives. He's a revealer, not of that, but God's plan, his purposes. And when you look at this whole thing, it's pretty interesting how he functions. It's amazing. I want you to think, and if you could, just for a second, place yourself in, let's just use one of the disciples. Say you're John. I know if you're a girl, I'm sorry. But just to say that you're John, one of the disciples, and you're following Jesus, and you're coming to this place, and you're into this last week of his life, and you're walking behind Jesus, and he's on this donkey or the colt, and it's amazing. People are throwing down palm leaves and they're singing Hosanna to him. And I don't know what must have been like going on in John's mind or any of those disciples' mind. They must have been going, it's finally happening. This is absolutely amazing. This is what we've wanted. He is our King. He's our Messiah. And then as they watched the week go on, they watched the enemy. The enemy with the rulers and the religious leaders, and he began to speak lies into them. And you can see the slander, and you can see the public opinion beginning to turn. I don't know if you about them, but like, what is going on? Why is this happening? And then they watched as their Lord had a mistrial in the middle of night. And they watched him beaten and abused. And they watched him be nailed to a cross. And they watched his last breath. Can you imagine what they must have been thinking right then? What do we do now? This isn't how it's supposed to be. I don't understand. And Satan is going, yes, I did it. I destroyed him. And then 3 days later, he rises from the dead. What we recognize is this, is that Satan himself did not understand the secret wisdom of God. The rulers didn't understand the secret wisdom of God. If they had, do you think they would have killed him? Absolutely not. The King of Kings came to this earth and he said, I am going to die so what? I could break the bondage of sin and death. What they didn't understand is that they were playing directly into the hand of God. And what they meant for harm, God turned it around for our good and his glory. It is everywhere in Scripture. He's constantly doing this. It's not over. He's still doing it. Don't be worried about what's going on in our world. God is in control. He will take what is meant to harm us, is meant to harm God, and he will turn it for his glory. And God is constantly revealing that to us. He says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love him. And the next verse, he says, but you have been revealed to you by the Spirit. You realize that the work of God and the work of the Holy Spirit is to reveal to you his purposes, his plan for your life. His, what he has for you and what he's given to you. He's given you a position as his child. And so all of this is that that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's doing in us, is that he's revealing the things that God had planned since the beginning of time and for your life and for my life and for his church. And he is accomplishing it. In Isaiah 64:4, it says, from of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides you who act for those who wait for him. We are just to wait for him. And he's like, I'm going to act on your behalf. Can you imagine sitting at the Red Sea? What are you going to do? What, this wasn't supposed to happen. Boom. Sit and wait and rest in me. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. He reveals. The Holy Spirit reveals. That's what he says. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What did it say? The Spirit, the Word of God is what? The Spirit, the sword of the Spirit. This is what the Spirit uses, the Word of God, to reveal the will of God. That's his role. And in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul, of spirit, and of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Why is it living and active? Why is the word of God like a sword? Because the Spirit of God takes the word of God and searches our heart, and he specifically speaks to us through his word. So is studying his word important? Absolutely. Why? Because the Spirit uses it. The more that you know of this word, he's going to bring it to your mind to help you in the time that you need it. The work of the Spirit searches. It says that he searches everything. The Spirit, he searches God, he searches the thoughts of God, the knowledge of God, and then he reveals it to us. He searches our hearts. Look at Psalms 139, 1 through 3. It says this, O Lord, you have searched me, you know me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all of my ways. Man, you ever get that idea? Well, I'm going to do this quietly. There is nothing quietly that we do. He searches it every day, every moment of our life. He's searching us. He is bringing to our hearts the things that we're doing wrong, and he takes his word and he reveals what we should be doing. Some of you might be thinking, man, that's a little scary. That's a little freaky that God's like, he discerns my thoughts. He knows what I'm about ready to say. Why don't, instead of saying scary, why don't we just say, that's really awesome? And say, you know what? I'm going to enjoy the fact that he's right with me. That I can literally talk to him. That I can listen to him and hear from him. Aren't we thankful for a God who's that close to us? The Holy Spirit brings understanding. And he teaches us spiritual truth. Look at the last verses here. The Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God, and we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Here is the role of the Spirit of God, is to bring understanding to our life. When you open the Word of God and you're saying, Holy Spirit, would you reveal what you want to reveal to my life? Would you search my heart, what's going on in my life, and reveal what needs to be revealed? Teach me what you need to teach me. And when you, have you ever had that? When you read something and it's just like, oh man, get that out. It's hard. Why? Because that was the Spirit of God speaking into your life. And you have an aha moment of the Word of God, like a light bulb turns on. Here's the deal. That was the Spirit of God speaking to you. You having personal relationship with the Holy God. That's the closeness that he has with us. I'm going to ask the band to come up. The Holy Spirit's role is to teach us. And can I say this? Is that he wants to do that? That is his role, and it is his desire to do that in your life. Now, we live in an age right now where everything seems absolutely crazy. It seems that the things that are good, our world is saying is bad. And the things that we know to be wrong, the world is saying it's right. Everything seems blurry. And now, more than anything, the enemy is trying to come in to destroy, to kill, to steal. That's what he does. And now more than anything, your life, your faith needs to rest on the truth of God's word and what it is, and that the gospel is powerful to save you. Some of you have been going through the motions spiritually, like I just go to church. That's not going to save you. Well, I give. That's not going to save you. I watch all the stuff on television. I watch all kinds of spiritual YouTube videos. That's not going to save you. It is only through the perfect blood of Jesus Christ, who died in your place, and you saying, I believe that you died for me, and that your blood paid the penalty for my sins, and that you rose from the grave, having victory over sin and death, and I place my faith in Jesus Christ.
and I call him Lord. That is what saves you. So I'm going to encourage you. We are going to be going into more and more harder times as a country, that we as a church, and for right now, we need to stand firm on the foundation that God has given to us, the gospel. We cannot give an inch. And we need to live for them. And it's going to require, number one, your relationship with him has to be based on the gospel and his work in your life. We also need to just completely trust the work of the Spirit in our life. We need to trust that he's going to teach us, to give us wisdom and discernment to know what to do in these times. We need to just trust him in that. And live with him within that.
Thanks for listening. We believe that everyone needs to be connected to a local body of believers. If you are already a part of another church, that's great. If not, we'd love to see you on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. or 10:45. You can connect with River Valley on Facebook or rvcoshkosh.com.